High FM, 101.9 megahertz of life.
You're on 101.9 High FM. This is Saul Rosenberg. Welcome to the People in Perspective show. It's great to have you on air with us. Every week we do an amazing show on people in business. And I normally have somebody from the community or from business who's doing amazing things in the world of work. We do have a people angle, and this week we're going to be talking more in the lines of marketing than HR, where we usually spend some of our time. But there are some of the crossovers with the experience that people are having. You know, from an employee perspective, we might talk a bit about that. And so I have Tiffany Markman, who is in the studio. She's going to be on a little bit later to sort of give us some ideas of where she thinks we should be, how we should be using AI to further our desires, our needs, and where we want to go with it. With AI, we've arrived at the first crest of this AI wave, I think. It's just starting to crash. And we're at a plateau now. And Tiff and I are going to talk about, you know, how we think you should, we're really going to hone in and focus on AI, and especially look at it from a marketing point of view, because a lot of people are afraid, really, you know, to say, can I still be a copywriter? Can I still work in advertising? Is AI going to take my job? So we'd like to know from you throughout the show. You can WhatsApp us and let us know what is going on for you at the moment. Are you in HR, or you know, I can talk to you about that. Are you in marketing? Are you a copywriter, or do you need copywriting? You know, those things are present in our community, and even if you're not in the community. Where's the line that you currently have to walk? And we're going to help you to walk that line. Everybody is currently walking some kind of line. And AI is here, and I think we need to acknowledge it and accept that. We don't have a choice, really. The robots have arrived. And so 2 weeks ago, we spoke to Brad Shawkin. Actually, it was a week ago. And he was telling us about, we were talking about whether we were still human or not. I think it's a question we have to ask ourselves every day, these days more than ever, to say, you know, how human is human? More human than human? No. But there's, I think, a destination we all have to arrive at, which is a better understanding of where AI is supposed to go in our lives. And at the moment, I think everybody's confused. So if you're confused, don't feel bad. Everybody's confused about what to do with AI. And Tiff's going to give us a bit of insight about that a bit later. So if you're the first time joining us with the show, this is generally a people in business show. And we want to try and give some perspective on people in business and in culture. So thought leadership is part of this experience that we have. And we do sit and discuss with people who are highly skilled and highly effective in their own lives on giving us a new direction. So we've got a basic structure. And we basically talk about personalized, about culture, and we're talking about how does the person become a person in this new world that we have? Can you still be real? Can you still be authentic? Can you be human in this new world, which you need people to guide you through? We all read about it in sci-fi in the 80s, you know, and it's now actually happening. And hopefully we can help you navigate that world. So if you're interested in AI and if you're interested in copywriting and marketing and being an authentic person in your job, stick around. We have a WhatsApp number which I'd like you to get in touch with us on. Craig's going to give it to me if he has it on hand. It's the number that you need to get in touch with us on. If you would like to send us a message, please WhatsApp us on 061-895-1019. 061-895-1019. And or you can, if you're sitting at your email client at the moment, you can go to onair@highfm.co.za. And we'd love to hear from you, just to hear what's going on for you at the moment. And tell me and our guest, Tiffany, today. Don't be shy. It's Chai FM, and we're happy to hear what is eating Gilbert Grape. If there are any questions, it's 061-895-1019. So we're talking about AI, and we also talk about behavior on the show. So how does behavior have to adapt with the incorporation of AI into your life and into your work? How do you have to change your behavior? How is behavior changing? We're walking around now with the most powerful technology we've had in years. Surely we're going to have to change the way we do things when we walk around and we do normal stuff. So how has that changed for you? That's what I'm interested in. Where are you seeing the biggest change in your life since AI? I mean, it's only been 2 or 3 years since we've started to feel this huge rise coming. But people have had to adapt their behaviors, you know, since COVID. It's really become like a decentered permacrisis that we've got at the moment, where we don't have a center anymore, and people have got to produce at super speed. So ultimately what happens is that the boundaries fall away and we lose quality and we lose authenticity. And then these cultural gusts of change which filter through all of what's going on. That's what I'm talking about now. It's that we've seen a loss of quality coming through and a loss of authenticity. And it's essentially what's happening is people have to become better at what they do. Ultimately, I think that's going to be where we're all going. Robots are going to get specific jobs and humans are going to have to become better humans. That's the good news. So I'm very happy to hear about that. So in the end, where are you sitting? Are you, pro AI? Do you like AI? Are you very anti AI? If you're anti AI, I think there are certain things you have to acknowledge. There's some people who are absolutely, from a different generation, want to have nothing to do with AI. Our generation, where I'm sitting now, from my perspective, we knew this was coming. We knew that we've known this was coming for 20 years. It was just a question of when. So it's part of we incorporated this new reality into what we were going to do. It's like, oh, robots, sure, robots. But there's some people out there who are utterly petrified of robots. They would never in a million years want to have anything to do with a robot. Are you one of those people? Let us know. We're interested to hear. Are you a robot? No, I'm just kidding. So this is what we're going to be talking about on the show today. So stay with us. And we're going to try and see where people and the new cultural waves are going to be crashing and where we need to show up. Stay tuned. And we're going to have Tiffany Markman coming on a little bit later. She's an expert in copywriting and a super, super heavyweight in the boxing ring. And yeah, she's an amazing person. We're actually part of the same organization. I'm going to tell you a little bit about Tiffany in a few minutes.
Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
You're on 101.9 Hi FM. Thank you for joining us. You're on the People in Perspective show, and we love having you listen to us. If you'd like to get in touch, it's 061-895-1019, 061-895-1019. And this week we've got Tiffany Markman with us in studio. Tiffany is a very talented copywriter. You know, she has the most amazing awards behind her name and 19, almost 20 years of doing one of the most inspiring of crafts, which is copywriting. She's written for 570 brands in 16 countries and trained 36,000 people. I'm just in total awe. And an international speaker, which I actually attended one of Tiffany's talks recently, which was totally mesmerizing. I mean, I was all magicked out when I left that. I was like, wow, magic still lives. Magic still lives. And Tiffany is somebody who actually is a word nerd, as far as I'm concerned. I think she's a total word nerd.
Proudly and enthusiastically.
So welcome, Tiffany. It's nice to have
you here.
Thanks
for having me.
Yes, and we're going to be talking a little about the robots today. So, you know, everybody's got their robot hats on. And, you know, it's something I think people need to get to the point of, you know, what should we accept? What is inevitable? Because, you know, I don't want people to be sitting there going, I'm so confused about the robots, I don't know what to do. So I hope by the end of this show, they're going to have this clarity, this, you know, which I had when I came to listen to you. I was like, yes, that makes perfect sense. You know, the first thing is, you know, what would you say, you know, what do we really have to accept without any negotiation about AI?
There's only one thing that you have to accept as a non-negotiable about AI, and that's that it's going to carry on whether you are on the journey or not.
Yeah.
But for those listening who are thinking, you know, AI is really not relevant to my life in any way, and there's nothing that I do or want to do that will be impacted by augmented or artificial intelligence. For those people, that's totally cool. You're certainly not going to hear me say AI is for everyone. Everyone has to get involved. You have to adopt early or become obsolete. You know, it's not AI or die. The question is really, how important is it that you and what you do remain future-proof and relevant? And that's the question to ask. It's how much does what I do and how much does the value that I add depend on tech, or how integrated is it with tech? If it's very integrated with tech, and if your future fitness and relevance are deeply entrenched with the world of tech, then AI is a non-negotiable for you. But if not, then you don't really have to worry about it. You know, watch from the sidelines and dive in if and when it becomes interesting. But other than that, don't stress. The rest of you, you are not going to be replaced by a robot in the way the media would like to have us think. The robots are not coming in to take your job. But somebody using robots effectively is possibly coming in to take your job. Another human using AI.
So you actually have to get friendly with robot-friendly people.
No, you have to become a robot-friendly person.
Right. You don't have a choice about that.
If you want to work in industries where change is exponential rather than incremental, then yeah, I don't really see a way around that.
Yeah.
But also AI means different things to different people. I'd also like to demystify the whole thing. You know, when we say AI, we're not talking about clever robots who can design PowerPoint slides in 30 seconds. If you've used Waze to navigate from Glen Hazel to Sandton, you have used AI. if you have used voice recognition on your iPhone, you have used AI. If you have used spell check or autocorrect, then you have used AI.
It's been around forever, which is something people don't realize, especially younger people. You know, the fact is that we've had AI for a long time.
We have. It hadn't really exploded until September 2022. So I think that's when it became less of a thing that people spoke about on forums, you know, on the dark web, and more a thing that your 13-year-old was using to write essays.
Yeah.
more a thing that your 70-year-old mother wanted her to take off, wanted you to take out of her WhatsApp because it popped up automatically and now she can't get rid of it.
Mm.
So it's very much a daily thing now. And I think that's when it starts to become interesting, when it's mainstreamed, which to an extent is what it's becoming. You said earlier that it's the first crest. You know, we just post that first little crash of the wave, and I completely agree with you. We are, it's early days still.
Mm.
But this is when things start to get interesting.
It's almost like the fizz in the bottle of AI has just started to bubble all to the top. And it was like, well,
I think it's starting to go over the, you know, it's starting to come out now. Yes. We've shaken the bottle.
And it's just, I think, time to realize that we've got to make decisions about AI. Now, it's basically just cool for everybody to sell AI. It's like, buy this pen. Why should I buy this pen? It's AI powered. Don't you want to buy this pen?
I'd like to think, and I'm probably very naive for a marketer, but I'd like to think that as we become more evolved as a consumerist species, we become more skeptical as well. So we are less likely to buy the pen just because it's AI powered and more likely to say, what's in it for me? I like to think that we are more discerning about how we spend and what we spend on.
Mm.
But again, I could be... That could be just me with rose-tinted specs, who knows?
Yes, well, we need those specs because it can be quite a grim world without those specs. So I'm glad somebody's wearing rose-tinted specs. There were certain things which came up in your talk which I was, like, totally enamored with, you know, which were basically how do you train AI? How do you coach AI? And for me, I like to see images of trends that happen in culture. And so what I'm seeing now is that we've reached a plateau with AI where basically AI has become our little helping friend who sits next to you on the desk and goes, yes, can I help you?
Like that little gem clip, you know, in the Microsoft Office suite in the 90s.
Yes.
There was that little help clippy thing.
Yes.
Paper clip. And you could clip on him and he would say, can I help you? It's a little bit like that. I like to think of, well, can we just get the names clear?
Yeah.
For those who are wondering about all the funny terms you've heard, and some of them are quite pretentious, I just want to demystify a little bit. So...
Mm-hmm.
Artificial intelligence is the name you will have heard the most. That's the sort of umbrella term for the whole thing. Underneath that are large language models, or LLMs. Mm. And those are the actual platforms that aggregate vast amounts of input data and then spit out answers to human questions.
So it's those, that's one, one channel that we've got to access AI.
Yes, and there are many others, but the one that people are talking about the most at the moment is the ones that generate language design or code. So large language models like a ChatGPT or a Gemini or a Perplexity or a Claude or a Midjourney or a DALL-E.
Yeah.
Those are LLMs.
Yes.
And the brands underneath are the ones with the names.
So what Tiffany is saying is really that AI is not just this big, funny robot that sits on the internet. Basically, AI is technology, and it's arrived in various different forms.
Mm.
Depending on who you are, it's going to appeal more to you. You know, I think DALL-E is more for the creatives. They've got images as well as text, and they need to combine the two of those things.
Yeah, the thing to bear in mind is that AI is not a big, scary entity.
Yeah.
It feels big and scary because it's new.
Mm.
It feels new. Mm. But it's really just an umbrella term for a series of tools that are very clever and very powerful and very interesting. I would also say that The A in AI shouldn't really stand for artificial. It's only artificial in the sense that it's non-human, that it's inorganic. But it should be augmented intelligence. That's what the A in AI should stand for. Because
that's very interesting.
We aren't faking anything. Yeah. We're augmenting existing things. It's not generating from scratch original anything. It's aggregating stuff that is already out there and feeding it back to us. So there's nothing, it's not generating anything new. And that's why artificial intelligence is a little bit of a misnomer, in my opinion, because it makes it sound like this robot is sentient.
So, and they're not.
No.
And, I mean, if you've watched any documentary on AI, they are not sentient beings, people. They can't think.
Well, until the singularity happens, at which point, who knows?
Yeah.
But let's not jump that gun right now.
No, the singularity is what exactly?
I don't really understand it, so I would hate to go on radio and explain it on the record. but as far as I understand, the singularity is when the robots become sentient and are then able to program themselves and then basically go rogue, and it's all a bit of an Armageddon after that.
Yeah, it's essentially when AI takes a spot against humanity, isn't it?
Well, I mean, I think that the movies would like you to think that.
Mm.
You know, for all we know, they might be friendly.
They could be. I know in expert circles, there's a lot of interest in, I mean, I watch a lot of documentaries, right? So I'm a documentary junkie. Because I really need to be at the front of everything.
Early adoption always.
Yes, and just because it's the media sort of background that I have, you know, to say, what is the truth? Where are we going? What's happening? What's happening?
If you're wanting the truth, I would not ask AI.
No, AI is merely as I'm sure you know, as Tiffany's going to tell us a little bit about now. It's probably best to see AI as a highly efficient, trained machine.
Look, I think even that is giving it more credit than it currently deserves.
Yeah.
I don't see AI as a highly efficient, trained anything.
Really?
No. Oh. I see it as a moderately efficient, very eager, but still quite green research assistant.
Yes.
Who doesn't quite get me yet.
Yeah.
So it's not highly efficient. For high efficiency, you need nuance, which it sadly does not yet have. Mm. I mean, it'll have it by the end of the year. But no, I would not say highly efficient or trained. I would say moderately efficient, over-enthusiastic, quite likely to talk nonsense and lie and give you stuff that makes you happy but that doesn't actually solve the problem. And valuable as a research assistant, certainly, but not as a thinker on equivalent human lines.
No, it's got nuances, and thank you so much for bringing that out. Thank you so much for that. Because it is really the boxes that people have at the moment. There are only two. It's like machine, human being, and work. And now we have to make up our minds about what to do with what this thing can do.
Mm. Well, I think that's a rabid oversimplification of a complex issue.
Absolutely.
But also you can have multiple fingers in multiple boxes at multiple times, right? So you can have your human fingers in the machine box while at work, or the machine finger in the human box while at home. You know, there aren't just three boxes.
Mm.
Nothing is binary anymore. And it helps to stop, I don't want to say criminalizing, but more sort of villainizing this unfamiliar thing as a big, all-powerful entity, when actually it has flaws that are being resolved very, very rapidly, and that's what makes it so scary. But it's not, you know, it's not coming for your life.
Yeah. So, but what I'm trying to get out to people is the fact that it's not just a case of saying, this is the robot and this is not a robot. These things need to be understood because they're not going anywhere.
Yeah. So, one of the things that corporates ask me often is, do we need an AI policy?
Yeah.
Yes, you do. If your people are going to be using AI in an assisted, to assist them in doing their jobs, then you absolutely need a policy for that, just like you would have a social media policy. But I also have corporates ask me, do we need to have a sensible AI manifesto? In other words, do we have to set rules for how we use AI sensibly? Yes, and not just corporate, schools as well. When I give the AI talk to big audiences, inevitably a parent will put up their hand. I'm sure someone did this at the talk you were at.
They did.
And said to me, what should schools be teaching children? And I said, and I will always say, the wrong thing to teach children is don't use it. You're not allowed to use it. It's plagiarism. The right thing to teach them is here's how you use it properly. Here's how you attribute your research properly. Here's how you ethically consume AI data. Here's how you ethically input stuff into AI.
Yeah, yeah.
And to change the nature of the way we give assignments so that the question isn't summarize the Second World War in 500 words. It's go to AI, ask it a question, and then feedback what it gave you and analyze whether or not you think that's an effective set of data.
So it's the idea of partnering up.
Yep.
That I hope you're getting from this our conversation, which is that it's not a case of running away. It's not a case of compartmentalizing into something which doesn't feature in your life and just gets GPT and thank you very much. It's a relationship.
If you want one, and it's not that everyone has. I mean, you like to be an early adopter, so it's important for you to adopt early.
Yeah.
I'm more of a sort of towards the late side of the early adoption, so I don't like to adopt quick. I like to wait until the paid version comes out and then see what I think.
Yeah.
But there's nothing wrong with being a sort of middle of the road or late adopter or non-adopter. Yeah. You know, it's not a. You don't have to jump on early or lose track of the whole thing. It's not a. I'm not AI literate. I can't live in the world. That's not the case. There are always going to be things and skills and areas of focus that need human beings. So,
yeah, I think the big theme, which for me came out of your presentation a few weeks ago, was that suddenly humans are in a new have a new place in this whole AI debate, which is basically to be humans, because ultimately humanity, as far as I'm concerned, is not something that needs replacement. It's something that needs to be there, you know.
I would like to think so.
Yeah, but that's what I got from your talk. It's like humanity has to be human, and essentially that's what we need it for.
Well, the thing is, and I'm sure Brad mentioned this. Yeah. I wasn't able to listen in, but if I know Brad, and I do know Brad, I'm sure that it came up in his Still Human discussion with you that in order to stay human, we have to work a little bit harder at being human. We have to become better at humaning, which means thinking about the things that make us human, the soft things. And the exact same thing is true of AI. In order to use AI to make us better writers or designers or coders or thinkers or researchers, we have to actually be better at coding, researching, writing, design than we were before. Because it introduces the kind of capacity and speed that we don't have, but it doesn't have the kinds of flaws and vulnerabilities that we do have and that make human output so interesting.
So I think what's going to happen by the time the second wave arrives, we're going to be even clearer on our path. And that's the time you can do a second talk, I hope.
Okay, cool.
You're keen for that.
Yeah.
It's this idea that humans have to become better at being human. And that, as far as I'm concerned, is a non-negotiable. If you were wondering about, okay, so suddenly... Okay, I'm a copywriter, you know, I can write copy. I went to varsity, I spent like thousands of rands on learning how to be creative and use words.
I'm going to jump in there and say I really hope that just by virtue of people going to varsity and spending thousands of rands, they don't think they're copywriters. I really hope that is the case. I hope that anyone who thinks they are a copywriter genuinely is one.
Yeah. But what for you is a copywriter, you know? If seeing it, and also to seeing it in the context of AI.
So I'm not going to get on my whole copywriter, content writer, content creator bandwagon, but I will briefly get on it.
Yeah.
So let's just think about words and language. So people who use words and language for professional purposes or for money, to make money, are communicators, right? And now in the digital world, content creation is a part of that. So people who use words and content to make their living are content creators. Copywriting is not quite the same animal. A copywriter is quite a different beast. And the reason is that copywriters tend not to produce long-form content or comms. We tend to produce strategic messaging. In other words, the content is, for example, a 1,000-word blog post on five ways to roast a chicken. The copy is the line that makes you want to eat the chicken in the first place. The copywriter writes the copy. The content creator creates the content. Many copywriters do content too. Very few content creators do copy. Copywriting is also, we create content for specific, we create words for specific purposes. So for a particular billboard campaign or a particular TV commercial or a particular radio script. Whereas content is more dynamic and tends to have a slightly more holistic viewpoint.
We are going to a short ad break, and please tune in a few minutes.
Hi FM, 101.9 megahertz of life.
You're on 101.9 Hi FM, and thank you for joining us. This is the People in Perspective show, and we are talking about AI, of all things. I have a specialist copywriter, Tiffany Markman, in the studio with us. If you have been listening and you'd like to send us a message, we'd love to hear from you. It's 061-895-1019, 061-895-1019.
I would also like anyone to message us who's been told in the last 12 months or so that their job is going to be replaced by a bot. I'd be very interested in hearing what you do for a living and whether you've been told and when you were told and by whom you were told that your job is going to be made redundant by one or another AI platform.
Yes, this is a very sore, touchy point with people. Please don't be afraid to message us.
I'll go first. So I get this a lot. The minute people find out what I do for a living, they say, oh, you're a copywriter. You know, AI is going to take your job in a year. Or the most recent one was, AI is coming for your job, darling.
Darling?
Yeah. So I was quite...
That's a bit personal.
I was a bit irritated, but less so about the darling and more so about the fact that AI is not taking my job.
So who said that darling?
I can't tell you because he's quite famous.
So it's an actual person?
An actual human, yeah.
So, you know, I think... there's definite wisdom in this. If we are sitting with a current job on our desks going, should I use it for this? Should I not use whatever I have for this? What are you being told at work? That's what I'd like to know. What is your company telling you? Because everybody's different.
Some agencies are saying to their staff and to their clients at agencies, no AI allowed. Which I think is a bit short-sighted. Some clients are saying to their agencies, you will not use AI to generate campaigns for us. I think, I mean, that's fine. But, you know, it's important to have a boundary, whatever that boundary might be. But I think that that's not going to work for much longer. And I think we're going to get to a point where Microsoft Word has got AI built into it, so it's going to suggest things whether you like it or not.
So what you're saying is, It depends on who you are at what you are trying to sell, actually.
Yeah, and it depends what good looks like to you.
Yeah.
So you'll remember that I spend a lot of time talking about the mediocre middle.
Yeah.
In other words, if your goal is to be slightly better than average and you're currently slightly below average at writing a particular thing or at a particular kind of output, then AI is going to totally revolutionize things for you because it's going to produce something that you think is really good compared to what you could have done on your own, and it's going to do it much more quickly and for free. The problem is that that is always ever going to be the mediocre middle, which I don't feel that it's fair to charge clients for. And I also don't think, I think that in a world where hundreds of millions of people are able to generate mediocre middle, you're going to have to work that much harder to be outstanding.
Yes, being outstanding is far more appreciated than being mediocre. If you are, do you think you are somebody who's mediocre? You know?
Shame. How can you ask that? You don't have to answer. Audience, you don't have to answer that question. That is a mean question.
I think, you know.
Rather, are you asking for a friend? Do you have a friend who's mediocre? Rather, call in and tell us about the friend.
Yeah. Do you have a friend who thinks they're mediocre? We'd love to know, really, essentially, what is eating them, because nobody wants to be mediocre. No.
Some people like mediocrity. I mean, there are whole countries, and I'm not going to name names, where mediocrity is absolutely prized.
Yeah. I think we've seen enough examples on a daily basis when we turn on any TV.
I'm not naming names. You can say whatever you like. It's your show.
No, absolutely. But I think the point we're trying to make is that mediocrity is not acceptable.
Well, it is when it's better than terrible, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So I mean, let's be real. So let's say that you are a small business owner or a consultant or somebody in a non-creative industry, like let's say it's retail or manufacturing or import-export. So your job is not to create design or words or code or anything like that. You deal with things and selling things to people. Mm. One of your intrinsic skills is not necessarily going to be writing a media release, because that's not one of your intrinsic skills. So yeah. Until now, you would have had to either borrow one from somewhere and repurpose it. You would have had to try and Google a template, which would have been dire. Mm. Or you would have paid someone a couple of grand to write you one. Mm. And the fact that you need one does not mean that you need the world's greatest masterpiece press release. It just means that you need one. Mm. So for people like that, generative AI is an absolute game changer, because you can get a fairly decent media release by briefing the AI, the generative AI platform, properly for free quite quickly. It won't be a masterpiece, but it'll be decent and probably better than what you could have done on your own.
Right.
So for people like that, it's amazing. It's an amazing, amazing thing. But for people who want better than mediocre, more than once.
Yes.
Then AI does tend to lose its charm quite quickly. And also, I can tell you that as someone who uses AI every day,
yeah,
when I work hard to give AI the right prompt so that I get a really good first attempt, it still takes me 5 to 8 iterations to get it halfway close to something I will actually use, which means that using AI makes me better, but it doesn't make me faster.
So that is quite an important thing to emphasize for people, is that AI is actually making you better at being a copywriter.
Yes, it's a green research assistant. So just to give an example, if I'm coming up with, let's use today, I'm working on a brand voice document for a client in facial recognition software. And I've come up with a whole lot of slogans for them. And I want to check that I've thought of everything that I could have possibly thought of given the information that I have. So I fed my slogans into ChatGPT. I used the paid one, 4.0. And I said, these are my slogans. Have I missed anything based on what I've told you about this project? Are there any sort of gaps in my thinking or things that I've not considered? Or is there any sort of best practice that I might not be aware of that I might not be using? And it suggested one or two things that were interesting-ish, but not that I would ever use. But they did get me thinking. And sometimes it's, if you've got nothing, it's a good idea to go to your preferred platform and say, I have to do an XYZ. I've got 3 ideas. Can you give me another 3? Or can you look at gaps in my thinking and point out where I might be missing something?
So it's basically, you know, what I love about that idea is that you bring it in to your work mode, into your work actions. Mm. You're saying, come along, AI, come with me. Mm. I've got somewhere to go, and we're going to go there together.
Mm. And if you give me stuff that I like, I will play with it until it's what I want.
Yeah.
If you don't, you don't. Eh.
Precisely. And isn't that a great answer, people? I mean, you know, we're looking for ways to work with robots. We're looking for ways to break this confusion about how to do things. Essentially, make AI your helpful friend who's going to improve you and who's actually going to listen to you. Like what Tiffany's actually got this amazing little process where you go use your human brain and use your AI brain. Tell us about that a little bit.
So how I use generative AI is I use my human brain first, the one that lives in my head.
Yeah.
to come up with a rough skeleton or plan or structure for the concept. Mm. And this is usually where the brief plays a role, either the one the client's given me or the one that I generate for myself. Mm. And I fine-tune that and work on that so that I know what I'm after. And then I flesh it out to an extent using my human brain. And then I move to what I call the AI brain. So I go into a generative AI platform like a ChatGPT or a Perplexity, and I say to it, this is the thing that I need to create. This is the audience that it's for. Can you add to this gap or that gap? Mm. What's missing? And then I use what it's given me with my human brain again, and I iterate. So I fiddle and fiddle and fiddle and fiddle.
I think these tips are utterly fascinating. So we're going to have a few more of them when we come back. We're going to a short ad break.
Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
You're on 101.9 Hi FM. You're on the People in Perspective show. This is Saul Rosenberg, and we are here in studio talking to Tiffany Markman. And Tiff, you are making a lot of sense.
I hope so.
No, well, to me, I'm a total, like, you know, I'm, you know, saluting, you know, because it's people need a pathway in order to understand the robot.
So is this now the time for me to issue all the warnings?
I think warnings are great because they give shape to whatever it is.
Okay, so I mean, I feel like it wouldn't be responsible to come on and say, use it willy-nilly.
Yeah.
So I was saying just before the ad break that I might input a whole lot of stuff or ideas into AI and then ask it to feedback and give me solutions. The risk, of course, is that once I've put it into the bot, it no longer belongs to me. It's now part of the full aggregated database of things that the whole world can access. So bear in mind, audience, that when you put a prompt or a piece of copy or your company name or something you've written into a generative AI platform and press submit, it's no longer yours. And by the same token, what comes out of it is not actually yours either. Mm. So there are some ethical things there about selling stuff to clients. So just be aware of the IP issues around who owns what and where it goes. When I put information or copy into a generative AI platform, I typically anonymize it. So I take all the client details out. But that's just, you know, just something that I like to do. So that's warning number one. Warning number two is it lies.
AI
lies.
Really?
It's called hallucinating. So
Oh my goodness.
It gives you very confident, very enthusiastic responses that are almost entirely made up.
Wow, that is very, very scary.
Mm, so please don't trust anything that you are given by a bot. Please don't swallow it wholesale. You've got to fact check, accuracy check, sanity check, everything you're offered before using it for anything important. You can, with the paid ChatGPT and with a couple of the others, you can ask it to give you sources, but you absolutely cannot trust it because AI says something is the case that it is.
Mm.
If you ask AI who Tiffany Markman is, it will make up the biggest load of nonsense until I get really famous, and then it might get it right. But for now, it's just going to give you complete nonsense. It makes stuff up and it sounds perfectly credible, but if you look slightly carefully at it, it's just beige mush.
So the word beige is just, I mean, you know, it's the reality of where we are as a fallout from being a hyper, super industrialized culture where everything is for sale all the time and people are buying stuff. We get fallout from that, and that's called beige as far as
well, I like the word beige because I always used to say that boring things were vanilla.
Yeah.
So I used to say, you know, if something was really boring and generic, that it was vanilla. But somebody pointed out to me quite truthfully that vanilla is a very delicious thing.
Yeah.
And so I was using vanilla in vain.
Yeah.
And now I use beige because beige is genuinely not a nice.
But I like beige.
No one likes beige. Beige is a non-color.
My tablecloth is beige.
No, that is, beige is not a color. Beige isn't. Beige is sadness fabric.
Totally. I think when it comes to copywriting, you can't be beige.
No.
Copywriting and beige don't go together. You know, I think these are important lessons. I hope you are listening very carefully to what we're saying, because we're trying to give you a way to sort of navigate this new landscape that we've all got in front of us. You know, these sort of attitudes that people have towards their assistants. I mean, I think that's going to change as well, because people have you know, actually, maybe I have a person who's my assistant. Maybe they're doing a perfectly good job. In that sense, what do we do?
Well, you know, there are a lot of things that AI cannot do, so that you will not be able to replace with a bot. So I have a virtual assistant who lives in Midrand. She's worked for me for 9 months. We've never met. She's wonderful.
This is a human being.
She's a human, a real live human. And I have another assistant, a junior writer who works with me that I do see that I have met. She's worked with me 3 years, and she comes in one day a week.
Yeah.
Neither of those two people could be replaced wholesale by any sort of generative AI that I have so far encountered.
Why is that?
Because they need to make the kinds of decisions that require the kind of intricate knowledge of me and my business that AI will probably never be able to learn.
Right.
They need to be able to be brave enough to take risks that could lead them to mess up, knowing that I will be okay with it, provided that they tried.
Mm.
You know, they need to be able to know what I would say or know what I would do. And AI likes to think it knows, but it doesn't. And also, human beings can watch out for unhealthy generalization, which currently AI cannot do.
So it's these very, very specific things that are beyond the reach of AI.
Currently. I don't know for how much longer that will be the case, but I do believe that there are things that AI will never be able to do.
Well, I think that's, you know, something that's a positive thing.
Yeah. So, I mean, if you want to be in health services or soft sciences or beauty treatments, or you know, they you know, if you're a data capturer, you may need to upskill.
Yes.
But if you're a nurse, I think you'll be fine.
Yes, and that is the point that we're trying to make. There are some things which are so quintessentially human that it doesn't matter how many algorithmic rotations are happening with in a specific AI program that you're using. It will still not be able to copy that human experience. I still get mesmerized by, you know, the machine learning phenomenon of, of machine learning.
So the thing I like to think about is that if you take microsurgery, right? So for the moment, there are exceptionally skilled humans who do it, and they are to an extent aided by machines. At some point, there will be exceptionally skilled machines who can do it without humans, bar the programming.
Mm.
But if you are a person who is afraid of surgery, you are going to want a human because the robot can't make you feel unafraid.
Mm.
So there are always going to be things that we prefer humans for.
Yeah, I mean, it's. I think what we're actually seeing is a total compartmentalization, but it's not a situation where there's separate existences. So really it's now, I think, a time where we are have made friends with AI and or are starting to make friends with AI. It's the scenario of going forward together, I think, which we're trying to communicate here, Tiff.
Yeah.
I think it's like it's not something that you have to say, it's me or it's AI. I don't think we're not there anymore.
Well, we're not there yet.
So, you know, this is a, you know, incredibly touchy subject for a lot of people. And a lot of people are sincerely worried about losing their jobs to, you know, to a new form of technology that they barely understand. So my, you know, what I'm trying to do in this show is hopefully, and I think what we've done, you know, with the sort of, you know, the short period of time that we've had, to give some kind of answer to these questions which you may have. This is an important topic. We are in a new era, people. There is now a new part of the equation which we have to incorporate, which is AI. Every single business under the sun is doing whatever it can at the moment to get on the AI bandwagon. But as the dust starts to settle, we'll start to have more and more clarity from experts like Tiffany, who's a super, super talent, by the way.
Thank you.
And, you know, especially, and her nuance in terms of understanding with AI is something I haven't encountered. So thank you for joining and telling us all about that.
Thanks for having me.
Yes, we have very talented people on the show, and Tiffany has hopefully helped you in some way to get to a new understanding, a new plateau to how to use AI more effectively. So this is the closing of the show, and so thank you for joining us. We will be back next week, and please don't miss, it's the People in Perspective show, and we look forward to seeing you next week.